So welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Jane Bramwell, who wrote the book and the lyrics to CLD, The Real Lewis Carroll.
Hello.
Cool, so Jane, tell us about the story.
Well, everybody knows the story of Alice in Wonderland. This is not the story of Alice in Wonderland. Alice has a bit part in this show. This is the story of the man who wrote the Alice books. Not Lewis Carroll, as everybody thinks of him, but Charles Lutwidge Dodgson, which was his real name. Because what I'm interested in is how the character of Dodgson, who was a classic Victorian polymath, he was an academic, he was a cleric, he was a well-known photographer. I think it's well-known that if he hadn't written the Alice books, he'd have been famous as a photographer. He was a satirist, he wrote pamphlets. I'm interested in how the whole breadth of his life characterises the Alice books. And what I want to do is to present his life to people, and with quite an interesting and rather tragic spin on it, and send them back again to the books which they think they know so well, because I think they'll read them again and find different things in them.
Cool. So, is it a biographical show?
It tells an extract of his life, a period of his life, a period when he wrote the Alice books, and his interrelation with the little family, the family of the Dean of Christchurch, which relationship, as I think is fairly well known, very abruptly came to an end, just at about the time that the first Alice book was published. For 6 years he'd been an intimate in the family. He was totally part of the family. I think everybody knows the looking glass sequence where the kitten climbs through the looking glass. And this was based on one occasion when Dodgson, in classic paterfamilias mode, was helping out as the children ran a bazaar at Christchurch. He was that much part of the family group. Mm. And then it just stopped. June 1864, there was a complete breach. And nobody's ever really explained why. There are various theories around. We offer a slightly different one.
And that's the point of the show. It focuses on this area of tension.
Yes, it does. And I think demonstrates how it characterises the works. When people think of the Alice books, largely because we also think of the Disney show, we think of the funny showcase bits. And they are very funny, and they are there. I mean, we have the croquet scene. We have the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. But there are very odd themes which run through both the Alice books. The issue of identity, who are you, constantly comes up, and it comes up in the snark as well. And in the end, when you look at that, as opposed to just looking at the funny bit, you think, well, what is this man? Why is he constantly asking who he is? What does that tell you about him? And then you go back to the Jabberwock, which actually he wrote in his teens, which is an extraordinary story of a man totally traumatised, dominated by his father, who is shouting at him. What are you going to do? Have you slain the Jabberwock? Well, what does that tell you about his upbringing and his family? What's it like? The man had a stutter. There are 11 children in the family, 7 of them stammer. What does that tell you about family life in the Dodgson household?
Very interesting things. And the interesting thing about this show is that it focuses on some of Dodgson's characters.
Well, very much so, yes. I mean, it's intercut with actual speak from the Alice books. We use a lot of the songs, we use a lot of the poems, and we use a lot of the dialogue to make certain points. It is juxtaposed.
And so do the characters exist in the show? Does Alice exist in the show?
Not as Alice. We have a character who plays Alice and who reads some of the Alice parts. But yes, we have Tweedledum and Tweedledee who bash each other around and the Queen of Hearts turns up. Yes, so to that extent, yes, the characters are there.
Is it a kind of homage to Dodgson? Is it a celebration of his work? Is it an exploration of a story that's come out of something you've been interested in?
I'm not sure if I can distinguish all those. It tells the story of a part of Dodgson's life with particular reference to these scenes from the Alice books, and it offers possibly an explanation for maybe why a looking glass is quite so dark. Whether you call that an homage, I'm not quite sure, but as I say, I want to take people back to the books.
Yes, yeah.
And to have a very good time. It's very funny. We had our preview last night, and it was just wonderful to see the audience, you know, laughing at my jokes. That was good. Not just Carol's jokes, my jokes. And the music is incredibly catchy. We have people coming out of the preview. We did a preview last year at Petworth, and we had people coming out saying, I must have the words for that song. They wanted to sing it on the way home.
Exciting. So this is the music written by Michael Brand.
That's right, yeah.
You guys have collaborated before.
Yes, we have. Yes, we wrote our first show together 5 or 6 years ago, Longer Than It Takes to Say Goodbye, which was a two-parter, which was put on at the King's Head in Islington. And 2 years ago, we put on, rather bravely perhaps, quite call it a musical, a mini opera about the First World War, which was fantastic, but a bit gloomy, I suppose. Lots of people died. That was at the Brighton Fringe, so we thought we'd cheer everybody up this time round and try something different. Yes, but we've got another couple that we're working on. It's fun when you get in. Our working relationship, our writing relationship, has developed very much. I write what he calls wallpaper. I write lots and lots of words and surround about it. Because I'm not musical. I can write words, but Michael has spent a long time trying to teach me what a middle-age is. You probably know what a middle-age is because you've been musical. I still don't know what it is. And so I write these words. He says, right, that's a stop. That's a chorus. Do you understand? It's a chorus. I go away and write that as a chorus. And then, we get a song out of it in the end.
That's fun. I mean, it's very interesting, the relationship between music and lyrics, coming from someone that doesn't know so much about the music, and the task of setting lyrics, and especially because you've taken things from Carol's words and setting that to music. How many of the poems and material from the books and from his other work as well have you been using?
We use one particular love poem. He saw her once, and in a glance, and then this glance of knitting eyes. It's a dreadful Victorian love poem, but we use that. That we use Will You, Won't You, the Lobster Quadrille. That's almost our sort of theme song. And there's a lot of a snark in it. I don't know whether you're a snark fan, but I think it's one of the most fascinating and revealing pieces of Dodgson's work. I mean, it's this extraordinary collection of people who I'm quite sure, if we knew who they were, we could identify as particular individuals in Oxford at that time. And we know the Bellman is little because of his plans for performing, rebuilding the belfry at Christchurch. My personal theory is that the Beaver is Dodgson's childhood friend, Vere Bain. I think with his fascination with words, he would just juxtapose it around, but I can't work out who the others are, and nobody has really satisfactorily come up with them. But they all go on this extraordinary expedition in search of the snark, and of course, when they finally find it, or rather when the baker, who is Dodgson, finds it, disaster, everything vanishes. So it's a most extraordinary work, and its genesis is equally bizarre, but I think very revealing. I don't know whether you know this, but he wrote it later, it was published in 1974, when he had been looking after his godson, Charlie Wilcox, who was dying of tuberculosis, which in those days you did die of, and it was quite a long, protracted illness, and he stayed at Dodgson's family home in Guildford, and Dodgson also took him to the seaside, but it was clear that the young man was not going to get better. And Dodgson recounts in his diary that he was walking one day when this dreadful death was about to happen, and the final stanza of the snark popped into his head, for the snark was a boojum, you see. And around that, he created this eccentric, satiric, complex, very funny piece. And to me, that gives you a great insight into the way the man worked, that in some way, to distance himself from this appalling emotional experience, he goes into this world of satire and eccentricity and fun. It's a sort of almost a dual personality. And we do use the dual personality as well, of course, because in the show we have Dodgson and we have Lewis Carroll, who is his muse. And the two of them intermingle and discuss and fight and argue. Become friends.
Okay. And really important that you... Well, one of the important things in the show is that you mentioned before the interview that you and the cast are looking around Oxford and you're encountering the real-life settings of things.
Very much so, yes. I mean, I was telling this story, I'm happy to recount it again. One of the scenes takes place at the fountain in Christchurch, where, as we know, Dodgson would use as a source of water for his photography, and a particular meeting takes place there between him and Lorene, the wife of the dean. And Emily, who's playing Lorene, was totally thrilled. She said, I've seen the fountain, and I've seen this is where my bit is. It's so atmospheric, yes. And we are, of course, staging it at St. Columba's, which is literally just next door to Christchurch.
Which is really important for the show, that it resonates with all the work and the physical setting. And
yes, very
it's
much so.
Very much suited to Oxford.
Yes.
So you mentioned it's being staged at St. Columba's,
yes.
Which is on Alfred Street in the very centre.
Next to the Bear Inn, which everybody knows, yes.
It's a really nice space in there. How's the staging working out?
It's very, very good. We were thrilled to find it. We didn't want to do this in a professional theatre, so we weren't going to. We wanted a much more intimate setting. And although I'm not good at this, my husband is totally thrilled by the acoustic of the church, which I'm told is terribly important, because you can hear every word, which sounds ridiculous. We did a show when we did King and Country in Brighton in one particular venue. Even I could tell that although the cast were giving it everything they could, you couldn't hear it, because it was just being sort of soaked up by the drapes and the soft furnishings in the room. So this is a very, very good acoustic. But it's also a lovely space. It's a lovely performing space. and that the church have been extremely generous and terribly helpful. We're very grateful and very indebted to them for their assistance.
And you mentioned that it's being staged in the sort of half round,
yes,
so
that's
it's
right.
Very intimate with the audience.
Yeah, very much. I mean, yes, and you know, the audience last night were pulled onto the stage, the bit of the church that was staged to dance in the finale, which they rather enjoyed.
Lots of fun. And it's running until the 9th of August, so a very long run.
Yes, we've got 4 weeks, Thursday through to Saturday, and we're doing 2 shows on Saturday. And if anybody's interested in the interval of the shows, I'm giving a talk. As the complementary to this, when I started writing the programme notes, and they sort of grew, and they got a bit longer than programme notes, and so my husband said, well, you mean, there's an awful lot here, not in the show, why don't we publish it? So we have. We've published a separate, small volume called Mishmash, which runs through, it follows the theme of the show, but it explores in more detail some of the ideas. I've got a particular theory about the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. I don't think it was Alice's birthday party at all. I think it's Christchurch High Table that he's guying. And we use the Latin Grace, the Christchurch Latin Grace,
right,
which Michael has set as part of that. So yes, there's a lot more stuff in Mishmash, and I'm giving a bit of a talk between the matinee and the show on the Saturday evening, so anybody who's bored enough to come along.
That sounds wonderful. So more on the show. Who have you got singing the parts?
They're all professional actors. We auditioned in London. We got an awful lot of interest. It was very difficult to choose. So we've got Stuart Briggs, who plays Charles Dodgson, who invented the role in Petworth, and is brilliant. He's a tremendously good actor. He's got a beautiful voice. There's one fabulous song, which I love, called Mark the Stone of the White Stone. And it's magical to hear him sing it. Then we've got Emily, as I said, who's playing Emily Louise Tomlins, who's playing Lorena, and Peter Watts playing Lewis Carroll. They're the main parts. But we've got the supporting cast ensemble.
Lewis Carroll is separate to Dodgson.
Separate to Dodgson, yes. Oh, yes. There's a one, we think, well, they laughed last night, one very funny scene between the two of them where they do their sort of double act. Yes, he's Lewis Carroll is his muse.
As his muse?
His muse, yes.
In the same way that Bennett uses himself in Lady in the Valley.
You know, it's so funny. Somebody else made exactly the same point last night. One of our helpers, Melanie from the Visitor Centre, who's also been incredibly supportive, she made exactly the same point. But she said, of course, Bennett played both parts,
yes,
but we have different people. But it gives you, it's, how do you tell a biographical story? How do you get inside somebody's head?
Yeah.
And obviously Bennett thought of it before me, but that's the good way of doing it, is to split the characters out, and then you get some tensions, and then you get, you know, which side of my personality do I really want, and I'm shutting that one down. And of course, the other thing that emerges from this is that, although I'm trying to bring back Charles Dodgson, everybody calls him Lewis Carroll. It's the Lewis Carroll legend, which has continued, but one of the questions is, what does that conceal?
Yes, yeah. There's also an interesting question about when someone has used a pseudonym and created a separate persona for authorship, how much biographical information relates to it at all.
Yes. I mean, Dodgson stroke Carroll was very ambivalent about it. I mean, there are some stories where he just refused point blank to be called Lewis Carroll and he sent back post which was addressed to him. But then he found that actually it's a very, very good way of getting introductions to new people, because that's who he was. So then it was useful, then he'd use it.
Yeah. And a complex show that's well thought out, that sounds good.
Well, it is complex and it's complicated, but the great thing is it works. And although I've talked a lot about it, one of the things we get across is fun. It's funny, people laugh, and the music is tremendous. You do emerge buzzing. So don't think it's just a didactic experience. It's not. The trial scene is one of the funniest things I've seen for a very long time. You've never wrote it.
So Oxford Music Theatre are a new production company for this,
yes.
But you're hoping to do new shows with them?
Yes, very much so. We would like to do that. I mean, Oxford has got so much of the infrastructure for producing a show. You know, you're part of it. It's set up with communications. There's a visitors centre where people go to find out what's going on. You know, what more can you ask for? So yes, we would like to. I mean, Michael would like to run a music festival here. That's what he'd like to do.
Fantastic.
Which, you know, why not? Edinburgh can do it. Why can't Oxford? It's got the same amount of talent. We need a few more interested people than just us, but we've got to start somewhere.
This sounds fantastic. And I wish you the best of luck with it, because it sounds like a great show.
Well, fantastic. What's
and
going on?
The comments from the preview night sounding fantastic,
yes,
too.
Yes, people loved it. They really did. Yes, I think it'll be a buzz.
So that's running at St. Columba's until the 9th of August.
That's correct.
And where can you get tickets from?
They're selling them at the Oxford Playhouse, the Visitor Centre of Gotham. You can sell them, you can get them on the door, but we suspect that they're going to go quite quickly now. So.
Great, well, thanks for coming in, Jane.
Not at all. Great, nice to talk to you.